Just as the Lord will give you a sign, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. Amen. Please be seated. Our first hymn this morning is Hark the Glad Sound. Let's sing. Please be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Justin Eng, and I'm one of the ministers here at Scots Church. And it's great to have you here in person and on the live stream. If you're new here, please, I want to encourage you to fill out the introduction card and say hi. We'd love to get to know you and let you know all about Scots. But please do join us for refreshments after the service over at the mezzanine floor of the Westpac building. Just a reminder that on Tuesday night, small groups have 2 weeks left before the Christmas break. But you're more than welcome to come along. We're studying 1 John. Finally, don't forget to put the Scots Christmas dates in your calendar. You should have a flyer in your order of services, but there's the dates for Christmas. We're going to sing our next hymn now. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Please be seated.
Let us pray. Emmanuel, you are God with us, and you are the God who brings peace. During this second week of Advent, we are reminded that through your Son, Jesus, we can experience your presence and peace. And for this, we thank you, Father God. As we look forward to the birth of your Son at Christmas, please guide our hearts so we can align our days with you. Holy Spirit of God, as we journey through Advent, renew us from the inside out. Forgive our sins, those of the past, present, and our daily shortcomings. Shape us to reflect your character, O God, who became a vulnerable baby, born in a manger and dwelt among us as Emmanuel. As we approach Christmas, help us to live in the light of your glorious love day after day. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
That was amazing, choir. Thank you. I invite you to take a seat because we're going to interview Grace, and I don't want you to be standing up for so long. Now, before the kids and teens leave for Kids Church, I wanted to invite Grace to the front because, as you may know, along with Bwonika, Grace is one of our Kids Church leaders. And some of you may know that this is her last Sunday with us. And so I wanted to ask her, Grace, could you let us know what is next in your journey and perhaps how we can be praying for you?
Thank you. So it's a really brilliant question. I don't think I have kind of a set answer for what is next, which is both exciting but terrifying all at the same time. So the kind of general direction is moving back to the States and then studying for the bar. Hopefully passing that and then being licensed to practice law, but we'll see. My time here has taught me definitely that sometimes God puts you in places that you don't expect, like somewhere across the world. And it's been really lovely to just embrace the community here and grow with that kind of comfort in uncertainty. So I guess just prayer that God can continue to encourage me and continue to guide me and be clear with where he wants me to be and that I have peace during that kind of figuring out of things.
Anything else you want to say, Grace? I know you love the spotlight.
I guess just thank you. Everyone that I've interacted with here has been so incredibly encouraging and supportive and has really made this, you know, spot in Melbourne feel like a home and not just, you know, a passing through. So I'm so privileged to have had the opportunity to be here, and just thank you all for letting me be a part of your family for this 3 years.
Just to be clear, Grace does not like the spotlight, but we do want to say thank you, Grace, for just the way that you have loved, the way that you've been amongst us, the way that you've served at Kids Church, the way that you've welcomed people at the front door. Grace, you've been an example to us all here at Scott's, and we showed our appreciation by giving you a round of applause. So thank you so much for all that you are. And yeah, let's give her another round of applause. Let me pray. Father, we give you thanks for your church is the body of Christ, made of many different people from various backgrounds, with Christ as our head. We thank you that you have gifted each one of us in unique ways. We thank you that Scots is blessed for that. Thank you for Grace. We thank you that she has been such a blessing to Scots, for the gifts that you've given her, the way that she has used those gifts. We thank you for her warmth, her love for your people. We thank you that you love her and she loves you. We pray that you would bless her as she returns back to the United States. We pray that you would continue to guide her. We pray that you would shower her with your love and that you would remind her that she is a blessing to those around her, wherever she may end up. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our kids and teens can now leave for Kids Church. Grace is in the front and Bwonika, I think, is near the coffee machine. But we'll now sing our offertory hymn, Christ, Whose Glory Fills the Skies.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. The gracious life-giving God, we thank you for calling Mary and Joseph to be Jesus' earthly parents. And thank you that you choose a young woman to care for the Savior of the world. In a world that often seeks power, you showed us a different values by inviting Mary to help with the great work of redemption through Jesus. We also thank you for Joseph's strong faith and his dedication to your will. May the example encourage us to take on our own parts in your divine plan. We are grateful that you continue to invite both women and men to participate in your redemptive work. You call us to live and serve according to the example of your Son Jesus, with uncertainty about the future, yet with complete trust in your faithfulness. Please guide us to respond with a yes when you call us. Expand our vision, strengthen our determination, and deepen our awareness of your all-sufficient grace so that we may serve joyfully for your glory and the good of your world. Lord of the Church, prepare us for your advent coming. Grant and allow your Church to experience the free flow of your renewing spirit. Grant your Church, grant Scotch Church and its community, Scott City, our constituents, the International Christian Church and St. Stephen's Church, including their ministers and spouses, elders, and all involved in ministry, a fresh vision and renewed hope. Help us firmly rely on the power of Christ's resurrection. May unity, love, and peace empower us to fulfill your will. Emmanuel, God is with us. Prepare us for your coming into the world. Holy Spirit of God, come and drive away despair from our politics and revive our dreams of justice. Restore our passion for what is good, right, and true. Establish your just and gentle rule in places like Ukraine, Russia, the Middle East, Myanmar, South and North Korea, Sudan, and many other countries where peace has been powerless and violence prevails. Lord, grant our nation Australia and its people and leaders your presence, wisdom, and peace. May love heal the social issues causing despair, especially the increasing anti-Semitism in Australia and around the world. Let love motivate our citizens to go beyond the ordinary. And we pray that love, both generous and practical, will prevail with the guidance of your Spirit within us. Loving God, we pray for those in need. And help us recognize the Savior's presence in the strangers we meet. Please give us the sensitivity to listen to their doubts and hesitations, allowing us to share their confusion and feelings of helplessness. Give us the courage to share Christ's truth and love so they may seek and trust him. We remember those who are currently ill and struggling with pain, including our dear friends, Lawrence Murnane, Mirella Keast, Pauline and Charles Castle, Ruth Bath, and many others, especially our seniors in care facilities or at home. May their faith in Jesus provide them with assurance of your love, presence, and peace. And we pray for their swift and complete recovery. Generous God, we pray for our tithes and offerings, acknowledging that all we have is yours. Save us from the illusion of ownership and our possessiveness, that your grace may abound always. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
This morning's first Bible reading is from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 15, and you can follow along in the order of service. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good." Amen.
Thank you.
This morning's second Bible reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen, and thanks be to God.
Thanks, Jonathan. Do you do radio work or something? You do? You like to? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for Christmas. Thank you that as we draw near, we're reminded that Jesus has drawn near to us and that he is with us. Father, we pray that you would encourage us and comfort us this morning as we look at your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, maybe you know, but here at Scott's, on Tuesday nights, we have small groups. And most weeks, a number of members will cook a meal for 30 people who attend. And I just love the way that they are willing to serve. But here's a secret. I really love those who are willing to stay behind and clean. Those who cook rightfully get thanked. They're the ones who are servants, but it's often those who stay behind that don't get thanked. And not because people aren't thankful, it's just that they're the ones who stay behind and people have to leave to get home. But they're just as much servants of the small groups. But I think it's easier for those who are in the background to not get noticed. And the scriptures talk about the importance of honoring those who may not get noticed, honoring those who are in the background. So I want to say thank you to those who do clean up after small groups on Tuesday nights. But I think it's the case with characters when we hear the Christmas story. We often think about Mary, or we think about Jesus, or the wise men, or the shepherds. But I think Joseph is the guy you don't notice as much. Today, as we continue our Christmas Advent series, we come to a passage that many of us know. Mary is pregnant with Jesus. Joseph, her betrothed, finds out about it. And today, I want to honor Joseph and look at his life here, because really, Joseph is an example for us today. Like those who serve washing up after Tuesday night, small groups, we should honor him. Let's look at the passage together. Please have your order of services, or please refer to the screen below me. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now here we're told that Mary is betrothed to Joseph, and I need to explain to you what betrothal means, because it's a little different from what it means to be engaged. You hear of stories of engagements today, and people break up before the wedding. But a betrothal is legally more serious than an engagement. To break up a betrothal meant that you had to divorce the person. It had serious implications for the parties involved. Personal, social, familial, financial repercussions. The betrothal would last about a year, and they wouldn't live together during that time. So you can imagine when Joseph finds out that Mary, his betrothed, is pregnant, it would have rocked his world. He hadn't been with Mary at all during that time, but we as the audience, as the readers, as the listeners, know that the child is from the Holy Spirit. We know what's going on. But if you were to put yourself in Joseph's shoes, at this time when he finds out about Mary, he doesn't know what's going on. An angel hasn't spoken to him at this point. And he doesn't know that the child is from the Holy Spirit. All he knows is that his betrothed, Mary, is pregnant and he is not the father. It would have completely floored him. It would have completely changed his life. It would have changed the way that he saw Mary. What would Joseph have thought about all of this? We're not told, are we? Except that he knows the child is not his. And so he's stuck in a predicament. What does Joseph do in response? Verse 19, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Matthew wants to make it clear to us that Joseph is just. A word that Matthew uses can be translated to innocent or righteous. It describes a person who acts in a different way than other people would act. Joseph is seen as an innocent man doing the right thing before God because he does something that a lot of people in that time wouldn't have done. And that is, Joseph does not put Mary to shame. Joseph could have put Mary on trial. Back in the time of Joseph, there were Jewish laws that addressed the issue when a betrothed woman was bound to be pregnant. There were provisions for unfaithfulness, and a spouse could take their partner to trial. But he's unwilling to do that. He's unwilling to bring attention to Mary. Matthew points out to us that Joseph is not like other men. Other men would have made this thing very public, and they would have put Mary to shame. Last week, we looked at the genealogy. And you might recall that Matthew highlights five men: Judah, Salmon, Boaz, David, and Joseph. A pattern of five men who did not plan their heirs, did not plan their children. And Matthew shows us that Joseph is different. Compare Joseph to Judah. Judah, who had children by his daughter-in-law, Tamar. When Judah found out that Tamar was pregnant, he made it very public. He demanded that she be brought out before the people, thinking that she had committed adultery, and he wanted to bring her shame before the town. But it's only when Tamar reveals that she's pregnant by Judah that Judah realizes that she is more righteous than him and that he is in the wrong. Now, Judah was powerful, and he used his position in order that another might be shamed. But compare Judah to Joseph. Joseph is different. Joseph gives up his power, his own self-interest, in order that another might not be shamed. Joseph was unwilling to put Mary to shame. He could have made it a big deal, but he doesn't. And just imagine what life would have been like for Joseph, for him to keep quiet. Nazareth wasn't a big town. News would have traveled fast. He could have defended his name rightfully. He could have defended his honor, but he doesn't. He chooses to remain quiet, even in the face of potential gossip and slander. His choice would have allowed others to assume the worst in him. And he's willing to lower himself in this situation. That's what makes Joseph special. He's willing to do what the world doesn't do. But don't only just compare Joseph to Judah. Compare Joseph to David. David, who was powerful and took what was not his, another man's wife. You compare Joseph, when he finds out that he's not the father, he doesn't take Mary for himself. He could have taken Mary for himself and claimed the child as his own, but he's not selfish. Another man might have felt entitled to Mary and her child, even though the real father of Mary's child would have had a greater claim. But Joseph doesn't take what is not his. He acts in a way that others in his time would have not done so. He chooses not to be like Judah. He chooses not to be like David. But for a minute, compare Joseph to Boaz. Maybe you know the story of Boaz, the man who redeems Ruth the Moabite. Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, has a bold plan. She has a bold plan to marry off Ruth to Boaz. And so she asks Ruth to approach Boaz at night. You know the story. But unlike other men during his time, Boaz doesn't pursue his own interests, doesn't take Ruth for himself, because he knows there's someone closer in the family line who could redeem Ruth. You know, Boaz sends Ruth away at the appropriate time at night so that she is not shamed. Do you see the pattern here? Unlike others during that time, in the time of the judges where every man was for himself, Boaz puts other people first. Rather than using his power or his position to pursue his own interests, he doesn't use power for himself. He protects those who are weaker, those who are poorer than him. Joseph and Boaz, they're extraordinary men because they seek other people's interests, putting themselves last rather than putting themselves first. Just this week, we saw in the news from South Korea that the president declared martial law, and it only lasted for a couple of hours. But you might have seen pictures of the military surrounding Parliament House, breaking windows in order to get into the Parliament House. I saw a video of members of Parliament sneaking in order to vote against the martial law, protesters outside bravely opposing the military who had weapons, and as some newspapers suggested, it might have been a coup attempt. An attempt to gain power by the president whose popularity has plummeted in the last year. The kingdoms of the world know power through violence. Take what you can get, give nothing back. You got to look out for number one. Never admit that you're wrong. But the kingdom of God isn't about power. It's quite the opposite, isn't it? Giving up power, it's about serving, not demanding your rights, but supporting others, going low, humbling yourself, dying to yourself. The kingdom of God is filled with people like Boaz and Joseph, who don't demand what is theirs. Rather, the kingdom of God is filled with people who aim to be smaller and less powerful. And that's the theme of the kingdom, lowering ourselves for the sake of others, to serve them. Let me ask, what ways might God be calling you to lower yourself, to humble yourself? We think that lowering is a bad thing. We think that when we lower ourselves, we'll become powerless, we'll feel helpless, we'll feel out of control. But God loves those who lower themselves. God loves and embraces those who humble themselves. God, in fact, uses those who humble themselves. Look at Joseph. God prepared Joseph to be Jesus's father, the savior of the world. And God did that by lowering Joseph, putting Joseph in a situation where he needed to be humble. Joseph had the choice to serve others or to serve himself. That was the choice. But he chose to serve others. Joseph, therefore, is now recognized as the father of Jesus. God was able to use Joseph because he was humble, because Joseph's heart was humble. And because Joseph's heart was humble, he was able to receive Jesus into his home, into his family. God's preparation in humbling Joseph, making him low. And when you think about it, doesn't God do that with us? Doesn't he often bring us low in order that we might be prepared for something? Doesn't he put us in situations where we need to choose humility? That we might receive Jesus into our heart? That we might be prepared to do an assignment that God has asked us to do? Or doesn't God use us when we have learned to be humble before him? I know as I reflect on my life, there have been moments where God has brought me low, or he has called me to be humble in big ways and in small ways. I remember on a mission trip losing my glasses, so I couldn't see a thing. And I needed to learn to lean on God, to throw myself at God. I'm sure as you reflect on your own life, you realize there have been aspects which God has had to change or mold or shape. As Sinclair Ferguson writes, you discover things about yourself that you didn't want to know, that the person you had ignored or despised or opposed was the savior that you needed. Your view of yourself, your life, your future, the things that mattered most to you, all came under threat. You had this in common with Joseph. You did not understand at the time that God was at work to prepare you to receive Christ. You know, being brought low isn't something that's pleasant, is it? Who likes being humbled? Who enjoys being last or being low? But when we look at Joseph as an example, that should be the theme of our lives. Like Joseph, being humbled is part of God's plan for us. It might be uncomfortable, but it's necessary. And as we draw near to Christmas, can I ask, in what ways has God called you to be humble, like Joseph? In what ways has he lowered you in order to prepare you? Maybe he's lowered you in order that you might receive Jesus. Or maybe he's called you to be humble because there's an assignment for you to serve other people's interests, just as Joseph was lowered. Now let's keep looking at Joseph, because not only do we learn from him in his lowering, but we see his example in that he listened. He was lowered, and he lowered himself, and he listened. Please have a look with me at verse 20 in your order of services. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In verse 24, when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, it's worth reading out for us to pay attention to exactly what Joseph did. It may have been hard because really it goes against everything logically that Joseph was considering. You know, Joseph was declared innocent. Based on what he perceived, he was right to do what he was going to do in his limited understanding. And yet God sent an angel, a messenger in a dream of his in order to get God's perspective. Because Joseph himself had limited understanding, didn't he, of the situation that he was in. And God sent an angel in order that Joseph might understand what was going on, that there was going to be the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah. There was going to be a miracle where Joseph was about to welcome the king of the whole world into his own life. God was challenged at this point to listen to God. And he did exactly that. He listened to God rather than listening to the world. He listened to God rather than listening to the opinions of others. Joseph showed his faithfulness by listening to God, even if others were to gossip and slander about him. I must admit that it is hard to listen to God when things don't make sense. What's the challenge for us today? The world is noisy. Advertisements telling us what to do, buy this, buy that, social media. And yet God speaks to us through his word and through his son. And he calls each and every one of us to listen to him. Like Joseph. Joseph, who called him to lower himself and to listen to him. You know, that's the call this Christmas. As we draw near, the call to each one of us. As we prepare to welcome Jesus this Christmas, let's lower ourselves and listen to him. Will you do that? Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Joseph, who was willing to think of other people's interests and not his own, who was willing to lower himself, to humble himself. And God, you prepared him, you humbled him in that situation, that Joseph might be prepared to welcome the Savior of the world into his family. Father, you do the same for us. You lower us, you call us to be humble, that we might welcome Jesus this Christmas, that we might be prepared for an assignment. So help us to listen. Open the eyes of our hearts. Open our ears that we may hear your word and take it seriously. For you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our hymn of response, As with Gladness Men of Old. Well, thank you so much for joining us here in person and on the live stream. Just kidding, it's over there. In the spirit of thanking those who are in the background, I want to thank those who welcome and those who are on the coffee machine, and also for Monty and Rab, who do a fantastic job for the live stream and the sound. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to hear me. Just kidding, that was me. Thank you so much. Let me give the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.